That could be your second book, the first pasuk of each parak, parsha.
My favorite part, yeah. Well, there's something like the Pareto principle that, like 80% of all Divrei Torah come out of the first 20% of the parsha. That's what people look at.
Oh.
This is from the end of the parsha, though. So we're going to start at the
Oh.
end of Parsha Toldot. Okay,
Okay.
that Yaakov is sent away. He's going to go to Aram Naharaim, right? By Yisaf, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, by Yaakov and Aram, and Yitzchak sends Yaakov away to go to Padan Aram, northern Syria, El Lavan ben Betuel Arami, to the home of Lavan, the son of Betuel, who was an Aramean, Achi Rivka, who's the brother of Rivka, Em Yaakov Esav, who is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. That's
Wait,
the
he
Pasuk
sends him
plus.
away to save him from Esav?
Well, we're going to look at the top context. That's not what
Okay.
Yitzchak sends him away for.
Oh.
Okay. So after the whole stealing the brachas things, we have that Esav wants to kill Yaakov. We know that. And Esav hated Yaakov because of the bracha that his father had given him. And Esav tells himself, the days of mourning for my father are coming close. He's an old man. And I will kill my brother Yaakov. And the words of Esav were told to words, and Rivka found out the words of Esav, her big son, her older son. And so she sent for Yaakov, her younger son. But Tomer Levin says to him, Esav is consoling himself by thinking about killing you.
What was the Yemei
That the days of mourning for my father, that I'm not going to kill Yaakov while Yitzchak's alive. Esav loves his father,
Oh, but
but he's
he's
an old
not.
man.
Oh, he's old. I see.
He's old. Okay, so soon enough, he'll be dead. We'll mourn for him,
Oh,
and then I'll knock off my brother.
okay.
It's say for Bereishit, everybody kills their brother. It's a thing.
Yeah. So he must have been saying it out loud, because how would Rivka know?
Right. So you can talk about whether that means that he or she overheard him thinking it. Guy says, Kodesh. However, she figured this out.
Oh,
Okay.
it's interesting because it specifies Vayomer Esav
Billy Bo, right.
Bilbo,
Right. So I
and
mean
then
that is an interesting
Vayikra
thing
to
to discuss there. And we make the
Rivka.
point that
Okay, yeah.
not my focus. She at least knows that this is gonna happen. So she says, okay, to Yaakov, who really just doesn't realize this, that he's thinking about this, but Tabanishma Bakoli, and now my son, listen to my voice. You need to run away and go to my brother, Uncle Lavan, in Haran. And you'll stay with him for a couple of days. Yamin, probably he means years, a couple of years. Until your brother's anger passes. From the point where his fury turns from you. And he will forget what you have done to him. And I'll send for you and I'll bring you back. Why should I lose both of you on a single in a single day? But Rivka, Yitzchak. So then Rivka, this is what she says to Yaakov. So now Rivka said, goes to Yitzchak and says, "Kati b'chayei b'nei b'not chet. I am totally disgusted by these Hittite women."
Oh.
If Yaakov takes a wife from these b'not chet. And why is she worried about Benochet? Because that's what Esav married.
Oh.
Like she's like these, like my current daughters-in-law, Aris from people this land, Lomalichemim, I have no reason to be alive.
Oh.
Okay, this is Yaakov, he's still single, and I don't want to marry any of these Hittite women. So then by Kray Yitzchak Yaakov by Baruch, and then Yitzchak calls Yaakov and blesses him. And it's always interesting comparing the blessing that was meant for Yaakov to the one that was meant for Esav. At Tzeveo, but first he commands him, Yishev, don't marry anyone from Canaan. Kum lech padena Aram, go to Aram, Beta Betuel Avimecha, go to the house of Betuel, your mother's uncle. And then go marry one of Lavan's daughters. He's got two daughters. I'm sure we could arrange something. The Kel Shakai.
Oh, so Rivka was his first cousin, huh?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
First cousin. So
No.
the Avraham's son is Yitzchak, and Avraham's brother's
Oh, but
grandson.
from Rivka's side, from
Right.
Rivka's side.
Rivka is Yitzchak's first cousin once removed.
I mean, Yaakov and Rachel.
Yaakov and Rachel would be first cousins, right?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, of course we knew that, but.
Okay, they were close, right? Right. Okay, so then, but then, but good God, that God should bless you and make you fruitful and multiply, you'll become a community of nations. And God will give you the bracha of Abraham, lecha uzaracha itach, to you and your children. Lirash tachat eres b'garecha. You should inherit the land of your dwelling. You should not tana elkim Abraham. Hashem is given Abraham. That's the bracha. Vayishlach Yitzchak et Yaakov vayelach baden Aram. And that's when Yitzchak sends Yaakov away to get to marry. Right? Yitzchak's not thinking in terms of anyone killing anybody. He sends her to the house of Betuel, to Lavan, who is the brother of Rivka, who is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. And then Esav saw that Yitzchak gave Yaakov a bracha willingly, and sent him off to Aram, and to go get married over there. And when he blessed him, command him, don't marry these Canaanite women. And Yaakov actually, this is part of what Bayar Esav. Esav sees this and sees that Yaakov listened to his father and went to Aram. And then Bayar Esav, so this is Bayar he sees and this is Bayar he understood. So Esav figures out that Yitzchak's father doesn't like the Canaanite women. Esav goes to Yishmael, ben Abraham, so then he goes marries his first cousin on Yitzchak's side. He goes to Yishmael, marries Yishmael's daughter Machalat, and adds him to his current wives. Because we know the whole thing started right before the whole bracha story we had the source for, which is Vayhi Esav ben Arba'im Shana. So Esav was 40. So these are not little kids at the time of the bracha. So the bracha happens after this. So the bracha is when Esav is already 40, which means that Yaakov is also 40 because they're twins. Vayikach Yishak Yudit bat Be'iri Achiti, Ve'pasmat bat Delon Achiti. He's married to Piti women, but Batiyeda Marat Ruach Yitzchak Rivka, and Yitzchak and Rivka were bitter. They were a source of great bitterness to Yitzchak and Rivka.
Funny, her name was Yehudit.
Yes, and there's some discussion about that. Okay, it's a nice name, and what did that mean?
Wow.
Okay, so it's okay. They had that people had names.
Yeah. Wait,
right,
I
so
had something else occurred to me as you're reading through this when Rivka says to Yaakov, your brother will forget what you did to him.
Yes. And I'm about to mention that in passing, right? Even though
it
it's
was
so, even,
her.
It sounds that way, right? Yeah, that's kind of striking. It definitely stands out.
Yeah.
Her comment there is like, I know you do that. What are you talking about?
Right.
So basically, Esav just realizes now that Yitzchak and Rivka don't like his wives. You know, he realized, oh, that's what's going on. That they've been so bitter about this, but that Esav is furious at Yaakov to the brachas, but he doesn't chase after him, right? Yaakov just leaves, and Esav says, oh, he hears about the fact that, you know, well, it seems like Rivka, it's a ruse of Rivka, right? That we need to get Yaakov married. And he thinks, okay, Abba and Ima don't like my wives, and that's it. And that all this anger at Yaakov dissipates.
He's trying. It's pathetic. He's a pathetic character.
I mean, he definitely loves his father, and he said, oh, it's like, oh, wait a minute, Abba doesn't like them. So he doesn't get rid of his current wives, but he just gets another an extra one.
Right.
Now he has three wives. But he's angry at, so basically his anger goes away. He's really furious at Yaakov, and then it's gone. That's interesting. And there's an Agada that Esav sent his son to kill Yaakov.
Oh.
Okay, and this is where Rashi brings this down. When Yaakov comes and meets Rachel in next week's parsha, he cries because he has nothing, no gifts. You know, like his like his father married Rivka, bringing 10 camels laden with stuff, and he comes and he says, you know, all I have is the staff. So this is the Agada about that. That Radaf Eliphaz ben Esav. So Eliphaz, the son of Esav, chased after Yaakov, as Yaakov's leaving to go to Haran. The mitzvah Aviv, Acharav, as father commanded him, lahargo, to kill.
Oh.
There's the Agada, Vehisigo, and he actually caught up with Yaakov. Oh, the fish that Gidel Eliphaz, Yitzchak, but Eliphaz wasn't a terrible person. He grew up in on Yitzchak's lap, right? He didn't, you know, it's his uncle Yaakov. He didn't want to go randomly kill him. His father said, you got to kill him. And he says, I don't know. Mashach yadav. He kind of held his hands back. Amar lo, ma'aseh l'tzivui shel Abba. So Eliphaz in this, I got to ask Yaakov, what should I do if I make father's command? Told me to kill you. I don't want to do that. So Amar lo, Yaakov, tell Mashi b'yadi. So, okay, take all my possessions, right? Whatever my all take all my money. V'hani chashuv kamet. And someone's poor is considered as though dead. Okay? In other words, as long as Yaakov doesn't have any money, then Esav is fine. Like he's gonna Esav will be fine with this. So
Is
what
Mashach Yadav, is that the same term when Bat Paro Mashach Yadeha?
No, she is. It's Mishiti. There's no chet there.
It's an interesting term. What
Yeah.
did she do? Wasn't Mashach, no?
It was Mishiti. Yeah, look at that side. That's.
Because here it means he refrained.
Yes.
Not he put it, maybe it means he set out his hand to take the stuff.
So she doesn't know she about Paro, and when she calls him that, but the crush mom Moshe, I'm talking about my Mishitihu.
Oh, it's not the
It's
same word.
not this. It's not
Not
the
the
same.
same word. Yeah. Okay.
Meshach means continue, right? To hold on to it. Okay, so that Esav is angry at his brother. He doesn't kill him, but he goes as. But it starts with this. His anger basically goes away as soon as we have this Vayishlach Yitzchak Yaakov Vayelech Badena Aram El Avam B'Tuah Harami Achi Rivka Em Yaakov Ve'Esav. And I'm going to focus on that passage. That was all the background, what's going on here. There's Rashi's comment on that. Em Yaakov Ve'Esav. En Yodea Mam Lamdein. I don't know what that does. I don't know what it's teaching us, right? I mean, we know he's that, right? Yitzchak says Yaakov and goes to Lavan, the brother of Rivka, who is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. Why say that? And of note, there's only one other place in the Torah where Rashi uses that expression.
Oh.
Okay, this is not a common thing. And that's the case where in Parashat, but in Parashat Vayishlach, where Yaakov is coming back. And he goes to Beit El, where he had originally, when he's leaving, that's next week's parsha, he's leaving and he sees a vision of God. He says, I'm going to come back here and build a Beit El Kim. And Vayera El Kim et Yaakov, O Bavo, Beit El Aram, God appears to Yaakov, when he comes back to Beit El, everybody's coming back. Vayal And God can't, left him in this vision after appearing to him from Makom Asher Dibirato, in the place where he had spoken to him before. And Rashi said, "But Makom Asher Dibirato, Eini Yode Malamdeinu." I don't know why it's adding this point about this is what he had spoken to. And all the commentators are bothered by this. Okay, what is Rashi saying by saying this?
Yeah.
Rashi doesn't comment every word of the Torah. If he doesn't know what to say, then just don't say anything. That's what's strange about here. This is the Maskil of David, David Pardo, 19th century. Right? If you don't know, then just being quiet is better than saying something. Don't say anything. So, the most common answer, and then Nechama Leibowitz talks about this a fair amount, is that Rashi's kind of opening this up, saying, here, you, my audience, you figured this out, because this way Sifte Chachami puts it, Yesh lomar de Rashi yada, sheyesh li yashev b'kama ofane. That there, Rashi knows full well, there are lots of ways of understanding this, Eim Yaakov Esav specifically. It stands out, but you certainly have things to say. But the Perashim, Mefarshim, lots of Mefarshim try to explain it. But lo yada ezehu amiti, yashav pashut shel makra. But he doesn't know, Rashi wasn't sure which one was right, which one really fits with his sort of didactic goals. And so lots of explanations. So I'm going to give you a couple of explanations of why, of the different Mefarshim would say why the Torah needs to add right here. Yaakov's going away and he's going to the brother of Rivka, who is the mother of Yaakov and Esau.
But Rashi wants the pshat.
Right. Rashi wants, wants something, wants to give something, has a point to his lesson, you know? So these are all the one suggestion is that this is telling us a little, it's foreshadowing. We should know who Lavan is. Why? Because there's a principle. This is actually coming in Shemot later when it talks about the family of Aaron and Moshe. It talks about Beikach Aaron at Elisheva, but Aminadab Achot Nachshon Lo Elisha. Aaron married Elisheva, who's the daughter of Aminadab, and she is the brother of Nachshon ben Aminadab. And Rashi says here, why is it Achot Nachshon? Mikamlamdu Hanosei Isha Tzrich Levadek Ba'acheha. You want to know something about your future wife? Implying you want to know something about what your kids are going to be like. You got to look at her brothers, right? Your sons will be like your wife's brother. Things run in families.
That's a good pasuk for a Sheva Brachot Devar Torah.
It has definitely been used, especially if you like the uncles.
If you like the brother, yeah.
Right. Okay. But the idea here is suggesting that Rivka's children share some of their uncle's personality. And conversely, their uncle will share some of their character traits. So if we look at Yaakov and Esav, we'll see a little bit what's happening with Lavan. That's the suggestion. And we have this trickiness. And the murderous rage are going to come up again. This is coming up. The whole substitute the younger for the older kind of stuff is going to come.
Right.
That's going to come up. Love unchanged. That this is all going to come up, and these are all things we see in Yaakov and Esav. They are certainly there in Lavan as well. So that's one suggestion why it's saying this is foreshadowing. The Maharal says,
where's the rage? Lavan had rage?
When he chases after Yaakov and he says, Banim Banai, why'd you run away? These are my children, daughters. How can you dare leave me?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was murderous rage, but okay. Maybe.
I don't know. It certainly seemed threatening.
Yeah.
I think Yaakov responded that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the Maharal says, it says Eim Yaakov Esav. It's making a point about that And it tells why Yaakov had to go back to Avram's family. And this is the Gerarya Maral explaining this. Yada Yitzchak, Shetzerich, let's say, Zerah Kasher, Echash Ein B'Psot. There had to become a point, basically, that the Bechira process ends. We can't just have one Avraham Yitzchak and then one person in every generation be the one to carry the mission. We need to somehow become a family. But once he sees what happened, that Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav, obviously this was not going to be the generation that all everyone is going to be the Bnei Yisrael, as it were. Banim Kim, these two are going to separate. That this was not going to be the generation to end the Bechira process. We're going to send him off. We're going to go back just like my father went for a looked for a wife among that the family. I'm going to send my son to the family. You say Yaakov Minotav, Yaakov will still marry into the family. And from then we can move from Bechira to a Bracha process, and all the children will be part of the nation there. Because Yitzchak thought the Bechira would end with his children. Right? He tries to get
Bracha. Where do you see this Bechira coming in? Bechura.
Right. Well, the idea is that only one of the children, right? Kibi Yitzchak Yikarech L'Chazara. From Abraham, only one of his children gets the bracha of Zerah.
Right, but it's not always the Bechor.
The Bechir, I mean, chosen. The idea of the choosing process.
Right.
They were choosing one of the children to carry on
the
bracha.
I thought you were,
that's got to end at some point.
I thought you were talking about Bechor. Okay.
No, it's not Bechor. It's not the Bechor.
Yeah.
Okay. So Yitzchak initially tries to give a bracha to both of them, that everyone should be part of the bracha, that we can end the Bechira. Rabbi Leibtag talks about this distinction there, right? And right, but now we realize it needs to be another generation, so that's because we end up with Yaakov and Esav, they're not going to be together, so now we're going to go back, get another generation, and the children of Yaakov will hopefully be united and can all get the bracha.
And they do.
Yeah, but they worked really hard at not doing that. Okay, I mean, that's the whole story with Yosef is like trying to kill him and sort of continue the Bechira, like, no, you're not part of this, we are, kind of thing. That's a lot of what's going on behind the scenes with that movie.
Yeah.
So Nachum Leibowitz, talking about all of this, she brings all of these down, proposes what seems to be the most reasonable explanation, right? Rivka is Aim Yaakov Esav. Tell her that she's a mother of both of them, which means she loved both of them. She had both of their interests in mind. You know, text tells us she had a favorite, perhaps, but she still loves both of them. And what she says when she realizes that Esav is going to kill Yaakov, she says, "Lama eshkol gam shneichem yom achad? Why should I lose both of you on the same day?" We mean both
Meaning
of them.
If he kills him, he himself will be a murderer and put to death or something.
Right. So she tells you that Leibowitz takes it a little less literally. Rashi puts it that way. That, you know, yeah, he's going to be put to death. The Goel Adam will kill him and I'll lose both of you. Literally. So this is where she's quoting someone. Whichever one ends up being killed, right? You end up in a fight, and one kills the other one. Even if Yaakov, you defend yourself. I will lose both of you. I will bereft of both of you. Because one will be killed. And because the one who will kill him will be a murderer. And I will effectively disown him. I will be hated kazar v'oyev. That will be an enemy, Mikilin, and I will consider him no longer my child also. So I will lose both of you if I get being killed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to separate you for a little bit. So sending Yaakov away, even just for just a short time, she doesn't anticipate it's going to be 22 years, right? She says it should be a short time, would save both of their lives, but save both. Yitzchak, it's say both Yaakov and Esav. She's acting as the mother of both of them. She knows that Esav's anger will dissipate. Right? We saw that. You know, it's within minutes. He's not, because Esav fundamentally is not interested in the bracha.
Uh-huh.
Per se. Esav doesn't care that Yaakov has stolen his bracha. Esav wants stuff, right? The bracha is that you're going to have mital shamayim aretz, rov dagan v'tirosh. That's what he wants, because as soon as he realizes Yaakov's only getting the spiritual inheritance, the bracha of Abraham, and he's not getting the family fortune, Esav and Yaakov are best friends again. Esav is fine. So that explains the agada about why ha'ani chashuv commit. In Esau's mind, that's just as good. You don't have to kill Yaakov. If he doesn't have any stuff, then I have no reason to be angry at him. That's, I think I'm mad at him because he stole all my stuff, right? He has the bracha of getting the family fortune. If that doesn't happen, that's fine. He can get all the brachas he wants, the same as the Bechor. I don't need spiritual brachas. And when they meet again in Parshas Vayishlach, that's made it very clear. Yaakov sends all these gifts to Esav, and Esav tells him, "Yom Esav, Yesh li Rav." Esav tells Yaakov, "I have plenty. Achi yihilecha asher lach, my brother, you can have what you have." As Rashi says, "Yihilecha asher lach, kan hoda lo abrachot." That's what Esav says. You can keep the bracha, because obviously it didn't mean anything, because Esav is the one who's rich, and Yaakov, you're the one coming back from exile. You didn't get anything from Yitzhak's fortune. You made all your money in sheep over there in Paddan Aram. I'm happy now. So Rivka knows this. Rivka knows this about her son, that we can avoid losing both of them, because Esav's not going to kill it, Yaakov, as long as we can make sure that Yaakov doesn't get the stuff. That's
So,
what he says.
this is Rashi saying all this.
Rashi is saying, pointing out that
He
it,
wants.
Esav, when Esav come and Yaakov meet again, 22 years later, Esav says to Yaakov, "You can keep what you have." And Rashi says, that's talking about
So,
the
it's like Rashi did know what it means, Aim Yaakov V.
That's an interesting point. So that becomes the question here.
Oh.
Is what does Rashi mean by that? Because, especially, because the Sifti Chachamim said that, well, because there were lots of different possibilities, Rashi wasn't sure which one he liked.
Well,
Fine, then Rashi should say that.
yeah.
Right? Rashi usually isn't reticent about bringing multiple interpretations. Rashi will say this and Davar Acher, this and Davar Acher, that. That happens all the time. Right? If they're all, like I put it here, relevant to his didactic mission, this relevant to the way I want you to learn the text, then say that. So we have this real problem that the commentaries on Rashi all say, okay, Rashi says, "Ini yodea mam, mam, mam denu," and here's what it should teach us. I have an idea. I have an idea. Idea, but I don't. But I've seen anyone who's actually addressed why does Rashi not say any of those? These are all good answers, right? And especially the aim. She's the mother of Esav and Yaakov. She loves both of them, and they're possible for them to be brothers again. That's great. And no one seems to address that. Why doesn't Rashi say it? So I'm going to propose an answer.
Ooh.
So I got to say that any yodea mamlam denu. We don't know what it's teaching. He's not Rashi not saying I don't know what the text means. We know what the text means. It's pretty obvious that even after all this, she's the mother of both of them. That's fine. And we see that before when it talks about Vayagid Rivka, Vayugad the Rivka Divrei Esav Binah HaGadol, that she learns what Esav, her older son, was thinking, and then she sends for Yaakov Binah HaKatan, younger son. We know she's a mother of both of them. She treats them both as her children. But I think what Rashi is asking here is, what does the text come to teach us? What are the lessons we're getting out of this? What's the point of the Torah telling us that Rachel treated them both as her children? Right? The text is telling us Esav's our brother. Now what? And that's important. We've talked about that last year extensively in Vayishlach, is that the story of Esav and Yaakov is not just a story of two brothers. We read this as a story, as the the prototype, Maaseh Avot Siman al-Banim, for relationship of Jews to Edom, Rome, what we call Western civilization.
Boy, this is playing out now, isn't it?
It is, right. Again, this is not Yishmael, this is Edom, okay? This is
right.
Christianity. What do we do with Edom? Okay, and that's a, you know, the fact that Edom is Rome, we know that lots of times in the Gemara and the Midrashim, it's identified as Rome, and Rome specifically in time of the Gemara is Christianity. But one of the places it comes out is in the description of Esau's descendants and of Parshas Vayishlach. When it says, these are the names of the generals, the tribal leaders of Esav, in their families, in their places, by their names, Aluf Timna, Aluf Alva, Aluf Yitain, Aluf Alva, Aluf Ela, Aluf Pinon, Aluf Kanaz, Aluf Teman, Aluf Yitar. Last pasuk, Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Era. El Alfe Edom, these are the chieftains of Edom, the Moshotam, Be'eretz Chuzatam, where they live in their inheritance, who Esav be Edom. These are Esav, the father of Edom. And as the Kirkman Lazar, the Midrash says on this, when it's talked about when Yaakov and Esav meet again and they live together happily until Yitzhak finally dies, and then by Kach Esav et Nashav Benav, Vayelech Eretz B'nei Yaakov Achiv, that Esav moves out with all of his family, and he moves into Seir in the south. And then the Midrash says, Uvischar Shephana et Kol Kelav B'shvil Yaakov Achiv, and since he left Eretz Canaan and left it all for Yaakov, as a reward for that, Natan lo mea midinot me Seir avad Magdiel, he inherited 100 provinces from Seir all the way to Magdiel, writes Aluf Magdiel. Nemar Aluf Magdiel Aluf Iram Zer Romi.
Oh,
that the fact that he left Yaakov to the bracha of Abraham, he conceded that I don't need the whole slavery, I don't need Eretz Yisrael, I can move. He is rewarded with being the great empire of Rome. And this specifically,
isn't
these
there a specific pasuk somewhere that's always quoted, the Esav Someh et Yaakov?
Yes, we'll get there.
Oh, okay. Because so far it's not too bad.
No, it's not, right. Right. But it's, I mean, it's not a pasuk that's Esav Someh Yaakov, but it quotes the, so that's the Haftorah of this week's Parsha. It's all by Esav
Yaakov. Oh.
But, all right, so that the idea of Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram is read as Rome. And the names are interesting, because we're going to get midrashically explaining those. So the name Iram, this is Bereishit Rabba, says that Aluf Iram, Aluf Iram, Amar Bechanani Tzipora, Bechanani from Tzipora said, Lama kira nikra Iram, Shu atid l'arem tosoriyot l'melech HaMashiach. But he in the future will pile up Arem treasures, tosoriyot, for Melech Mashiach. Rome will eventually serve the Jews, will give us tribute. That's what Aram.
That's one of our things, that Christianity is gonna bring in the Mashiach somehow?
No, we'll bring tribute to the Melech Mashiach. That when Mashiach comes, then Rome will give us tribute.
Okay.
One of that. That's Iram. Magdiel, this is the Mara Zagorari explaining what Magdiel, right? What does Magdiel mean? The great one of God. Or the Meged, the gift of God, right? Rome is hinted by the term Magdiel. God will make Rome great. Zel Malchut, this is the kingdom. Lefichach nizkar aluf magdiel b'achrona. That's why it mentions in the end. Uluf asiri, shasiri yoter chashuv. The 10th one is the greatest one there. Amuf Iram, who Rome is same to Iram is Rome. So I would say, and I explained, I talked about a little bit more in this shiur here a year ago, that there are two different approaches to way we look at our twin. Rome, Edo, Christianity, Western civilization, all that. There's the Yoram approach, one who piles up treasure for Melech Mashiach, meaning that we look at them as whatever we can get out of them. They're looking at us, what they get out of us. We're trying to get as much as we can out of them. It's much more of a adversarial relationship. Right now, we have to give tribute to them, they'll give tribute to us. But the other way to look at Rome is as Magdiel, the one whom God made great. And they have their own inherent value and can be appreciated for that. So we're looking at what Western civilization do we take from or participate in? What is the Jewish approach to modernity? We see our relationship as fundamentally mercantile, since it's all that they value, or do we both have something to learn and something to offer from each other? And that's the dialectic. How do we look at Esav? Always been part of our understanding of relationship with the outside world, famous Gemara and Shabbos, Pesach Rabbi Yehuda. And this was the time of the Tanaim, so the generation after Rabbi Akiva. So we didn't have a great relationship with the Romans then. But he said, Amar, Kama Na'im Ma'aseim Shel Umazu. Rabbi Yehuda said, how great are all the works that this nation did, talking about the Romans. Tiknu Shevakim, they built all these marketplaces. Tiknu Gesharim, they built bridges. Tiknu Marchtsaot, they built bathhouses. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Romans have done good things for Israel. Rabbi Yossi Shatak, Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything. Nena Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Amar Koma Shetiknu. Now they're only doing it for themselves. They have open marketplaces so they can open houses of prostitution, the bathhouses for their own pleasure. They built bridges so they could collect tolls for themselves.
Like
That's
China.
what?
It's like China's built and
Built.
road.
Nothing, okay, right. They're
What's
writing standard for themselves. They're not doing us any favors, right? That's the
it
dialect. Appreciate it, or we say no. This they're in it for themselves. We just can take what we can from it. And the Haftorahs we have this point where it sounds like a simple answer. That's it, right? Hadiyah Kamar Hashem. Malachi tells B'nai, says Hashem says, "I love you, O Israel." Matem b'me'av tanu, and you said, "Well, God." What do you mean you loved us? Hello, Ach Esav Yaakov, Nu Hashem, that Esav is Yaakov's brother, Vahevet Yaakov, and you may love Yaakov, but Esav Saneti, and I hate Esav. Vasima Tarav Shemama, but Nachatol Tanut Midbar, and God says, I will wipe out, I will destroy his mountains, and I will turn his inheritance over to the jackals in the wilderness. Okay, that's the Ohevet Yaakov. That's the answer.
What, say, wait, I don't get these psukim. Who's Ahavti et, God is speaking.
God is speaking to them. And then Bnei Yisrael answer, there was Malachi, so this is after the Shuvat Zion. And
Oh.
they're coming back, we're saying, what do you mean? You loved us. You just sent us into exile. And he's answering, no, I love you. Even though you are the brother of Esav, my lo ach, Esav Yaakov, but v'ha'av et Yaakov et Esav saneti. I love Yaakov. I hate Esav. And I'm going to wipe out Edom.
That's what God is saying.
God is saying that.
Oh.
And I think what Rashi is saying here is Einin Mudeh Malam Deni is that the Torah. Here, however, is saying that Rivka is Aim Yaakov Esav. We're brothers and it's possible to love both. And there isn't a simple answer here as to what our approach should be. It is a dialectic. There's no unconditional acceptance, no unconditional adversarial relationship. Any Yodea Mamlam Dana. I says, I'm not sure what to do with it.
Rashi is saying, I don't know what our relationship should be like to
Right.
the other work people.
Right. I don't know what we should do with Aim Yaakov Esav. It's true.
Right.
And we're, Wait,
He's
we
not
can't
asking it on a familial, like, did yet Leah, did Rachel, did Rivka love them both, and a mother and sons? That's not his question. His question.
That is my suggestion, that his question is, I'm
Yeah.
taking this now as a
All the
symbolic.
way to the
Esav
right.
and Yaakov are exactly the symbolism, and that's the way we look at
Yeah.
our relationship today. And what do I do with that? And any yom day mamla, they know it's not, there's no simple answer here.
So where does it say Esav sonei et Yaakov?
That is a gemara. Let's see
Michael
what.
Shapiro reverts to that whenever there's,
Let's go. Oh.
anti-Semitism. That's what it is. Yaakov, that's the.
Okay, it's let's see. Let's go find the Parsha. It's in Vayishlach when Esav kisses Yaakov. Vayishlach. Let's see. Here we go. Vayishak Kehu, right? Vayar Vayaris Yaakov Esav Vayakvatov Kehu. Esav runs to greet him. He hugs him. He pulls a robe, falls on his neck. Vayishak kisses him. And Rashi quotes. Rashi here.
Learning this as a little girl, it always, that's not the pasuk. Esav was happy to see him, and then the mefarshim twist it.
Okay, so the text, however, has an asterisk by he kisses him. Okay, there are dots over the word Vayishakehu
Oh,
in
look
the
at
text.
that.
So what Rashi's point is Vayishakehu, nakuda love. There are dots. V'yesh chokim b'davar zeh, the writer of the Sifrei. The Sifrei argues that what exactly it means, right? The way we have a traditional Masoretic text has it marked up. Yesh adar shu nakuda zu shelo nashku b'chol libo.
Not so
Right,
bad.
that he did wasn't full harlot. I'm a Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, same Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai who was bad mouthed in the Romans.
Here
Halacha
it
ki
is.
yadua
See,
she'esav sonei liyako. That's the quote you're
that's
looking
Michael
for.
Shapiro's.
It is the
Michael loves that.
halacha that is always true. Ela she nichbol rachamav otashav nashku b'chol libo. That in actual fact, at this moment, he really did. I mean, yes, it is true that Esav always holds Yaakov. That's true for generations. But right now, at this moment, Nichmu Rachamav, he felt sorry for him and he did kiss him with all of his heart.
This is
That's the quote you're
Michael's.
looking for. Okay, so
That's
that's not
Michael's
a pasuk.
belief. It's not a pasuk.
It's from the Sifrei.
And the one who says it, he says, well, not always.
Right. And he's the one who ends up going to exile, having to hide in the cave because of his comments about the Romans.
Oh, interesting.
So he definitely holds that halacha he, and so he definitely would never say anything nice about the Romans. That would
Oh,
not.
so we have those dots. The idea is they're from the first time it was written in a
Right,
scroll. Dots were
right,
there.
right. So that's right. So that's part of the Masorah of the scroll. If you look at the Sefer Torah, that's there. What are the places where they have dots?
And it's not Tamei HaMikra or anything.
No. So even if, see, if we turn off the Tamim, it doesn't have the dots on it.
Oh, so we have at other places dots like that?
Yes, oh, quite a few places.
That could be a third book.
All the dots, yeah, people talk about the dots. Yeah, that's another good place where they have it.
You know what they really are? Ink splats.
That are just in the really interesting part places.
Wherever they would be interesting.
That's true. What am I trying to think? Place. Here. Avraham and the three guests by Amru Elav. There are dots over the Elav. And Rashi says about that. Nakud al Ayosha Be'elav. It's dotted over the Aleph, Yud, and Vav. Shemir Omer Shekatav. If you get dots on some of the letters, then more of the letters are dotted, then you darish the dots. And if you more of the letters are undotted, you darish the unlettered ones. Kana nekuda rabba al aktav, ata darish nekuda. So you look at it, ayo, which means she'afu Sarah shelo ayo. Where is he? Right. So they're asking him, where is Sarah? And they asked ayo, where is they asked Sarah, where is Abraham? They're telling you some. This is a positive thing. This is derech eretz etiquette. They should ask the husband how the wife is doing, and ask the wife how the husband's doing.
Cute.
Okay, that's
But
the
really, if you put dots on any word, you'd have something to say about it.
probably would,
You
but
would.
There is a Masorah of dots on specific places.
I like that.
So that's the Vayishakeyu and the Halacha Esav Sone Yaakov. But I would still say we don't. It's more complicated than that. I think that's part of what Rashi's saying. That's my proposal for any of the Amamim.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And I will stop here. And I guess no one's joined us. But
Very
thank you.
nice.